And I said, Mom, we need to go fast. We need to go really, really fast. Everywhere we turned, there was just fire. It was hot. And there was this RV that had hit a tree. The man in the RV that had hit the tree had a busted head. And we were saying, we'll help you get in our vehicle. And they just told us no. They were like, they said, my son's coming to get me. Oh. And we're like, your son's not going to make it out there.
Welcome to SpeakBravely.com's podcast series, where individuals courageously share their stories of hardship and suffering and the steps they've taken to climb out of some very dark places. Whether you're suffering from depression, anxiety, loss of a loved one, financial hardship, addiction, loss of your home to fire, or any other adversity that has left you hopeless and lost, we hope you will find in this podcast companionship and hope. Grab a lifeline and join us as we help each other find our way back to stable ground. I'm your host, Shawnee McBride. Today we welcome high school student Kaylee Kriebel. Kaylee, thank you so much for joining us today.
Of course.
Kaylee is a survivor of the campfire that occurred in Paradise, California in 2018. Kaylee's also just finishing her sophomore year in high school and is going to be a student of mine next year in Advanced Placement English, and we're really looking forward to that. I would like to start by talking a little bit about the fire so that our viewers can get an idea of just the vast destruction of it. The fire caused at least 85 civilian fatalities and injured 12 civilians and 5 firefighters. It covered an area of 153,336 acres and destroyed more than 18,000 structures, with most of the destruction occurring within the first 4 hours. So it pretty much wiped out the town of Paradise, yeah?
Absolutely.
So does that seem about right to you? Does that information seem accurate?
I'd have to say the last part, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Most of it going in 4 hours. It was really quick, but the fatalities for civilians and firefighters being there, it must have been a lot larger.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure you had a real sense being there that it was much more than just that.
Yeah.
And that lines up with the stories that I've heard as well.
Yeah.
So, Kaylee, I know this is going to be hard for you to talk about. We appreciate it because there are so many fire survivors out there today who may feel alone or like they can't talk about it. And I think you sharing your story will be helpful to them. So let me take you back to November 8th, 2018. Mm-hmm. Would you like to just start by talking about that day and how did that day begin for you?
Yeah, so I can start right at the top. I was staying the night at my grandpa's house in Chico. And I had a dentist appointment in Paradise, and my dad came to pick me up. My mom was still at work in Paradise. She did CNA work, so she just worked at someone's house. So my dad picked us up. We were driving up to Paradise, and we had seen on the mountain there was a huge smoke, and we immediately kind of freaked out. And my dad had called my mom, honey, are you okay? Like, there's a lot of smoke, And she was like, yeah, no, I'm great. We're good. And this was about 9 o'clock, maybe a little bit earlier. Might have been earlier than that. And we had got to the hospital, and the second we were there for our appointments, they had told us that they're not taking in any patients.
Okay.
Because there was a fire that was too close. And they could not even take anybody in, and they were not accepting appointments, and they were actually trying to get people out. Mm-hmm. People on urgent care, they were evacuating. Yeah. So we began to get really worried. At this point, the sky was already turning a little dark. Mm-hmm. So then we called my mother.
And you were just with your dad at this point?
Yes.
Okay.
Me and my sister, my little brother, thankfully, was still at my grandpa's.
Okay.
It was me and my sister with my father, We were going to meet up with my mom.
Okay. Okay. And she was supposed to be there at the dentist appointment, or?
Yeah, I believe she was going to show up to the dentist after her work.
So at some point, and I could see why there might even be just a little bit of like a haze in your mind, because during trauma, this happens, right? But I know at some point you were like, we've got to get out of here.
Yes, absolutely. That was a little bit later. There might have been a little haze here, but I remember then I was with my mother, and me, my dad, my sister met up with my mom, and my sister thankfully went with my mom, and I stayed with my dad. She went with her to work, and I was going with my father to my great grandma's house to get my grandma and evacuate all of our stuff.
Okay.
Because we were getting warnings, you need to evacuate.
Right.
And the sky was dark. The warnings should have come way sooner, but obviously that wasn't possible because it was just too quick.
Yeah.
We were driving back to my grandma's house after leaving my mom and my sister, and we hit this corner as we're turning onto our house, and there was a massive wall of fire right at the corner of our road.
Oh.
And that was the scariest moment.
Oh.
I remember my dad, I mean, I was younger. I didn't really hear him curse often.
Yeah.
And he cursed, and I freaked out.
Oh, wow.
I was like, this must be bad.
Yeah.
This is bad.
Yeah.
So the sky is already black at this point at 9:30 in the morning.
Oh.
So we're driving. We start driving down our road. He hits the gas so we can get down there as quick as we can.
Mm-hmm.
We run into my grandma, and there's the neighbors are all freaking out. Some of them still sleeping. What is going on?
Yeah.
We start packing our belongings as much as we can. And this was the hardest part for me because I was so terrified. I didn't know what to grab. I didn't grab a single thing but my tablet. I didn't grab anything. I remember my grandma, she was like, grab what you can. My dad too, he was trying to get the important stuff like his tools, paperwork, whatever mattered. I couldn't. I went into my bedroom that was at my great grandma's house, and I remember saying goodbye to my stuffed animals.
Aww. Yeah. How could you think what to grab when your mind is just racing?
I think back and I was like, why didn't I grab? I couldn't.
That's okay.
So we grabbed, my dad was, you know, handing me stuff. So I did grab some things, but none that came to my mind. Nothing important to me personally.
Yeah.
Left some artwork and things like that behind. But grateful that we got out.
Yes.
So we were packing our stuff into this. We had this trailer in the front yard. It was like an RV kind of trailer.
Mm-hmm.
We were packing as much as we could, shove into there anything, really anything at that point, even sticks. Because what can we save, right?
Yeah.
So, and we start trying to pull out. And this was the hardest moment right here. I called... my mom had called me, and she was like, where are you?
It's okay. I know.
Sorry, let me take that back. I called my mom. My dad said,
yeah,
call your mother, make sure she's okay, make sure your sister's okay, and they're getting out of there.
Yeah.
And she picked up, and she...
Just breathe.
And I said, Mom, we need to go fast. We need to go really, really fast. There's fire. I still have that voice recording.
Oh.
And it's the hardest thing to listen to, but I do have that voice recording because my mom had this app on her phone that recorded any phone calls because she had memory loss for appointments and things. And thankfully, we got every single phone call from that day.
Wow.
But I was crying hysterically, and my dad was just freaking out, trying to get the trailer hooked up to the back of the truck. And my grandma, you know, freaking out, crying too. So after that phone call, we were trying to figure out a place to meet, but we couldn't. We were too scared, too rushing. We just needed to get out of there first.
Okay, so tell me, just to get clear, so when you were leaving, who was with whom in a car? So you were with...
My father.
Your father as you were leaving, correct?
Yeah, and we were hauling the trailer.
Okay.
And then my grandma was in a separate vehicle right behind us, behind the trailer.
Okay, and then your sister and mom were in another car.
We're in another car at this old lady's house.
Yeah, and they were in a different location from you.
Different location.
And they were at some friend's house, a friend's house.
It was her work, her CNA work, yes. Mm-hmm. So we're pulling out. I remember hitting that corner again with the wall of fire, mm-hmm. and just being absolutely terrified.
Yeah.
Everywhere we turned, there was just fire. It was hot. Mm. Yeah. We were starting to turn. We were starting to go down this road after we had made the turn, and there was this RV that had hit a tree on the side of the road. And mind you, this is a two-way small yeah. road. There was three lanes of cars going one way, backed up in traffic. We were not barely moving in an inch. The man, I can't remember if it was a man or a woman, I don't recall, in the RV that had hit the tree had a busted head, and we were saying, we'll help you get in our vehicle, and they just told us no. They were like, they said my son's coming to get me. And we're like, your son's not going to make it out there. There's too many.
The decisions people had to make.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we were telling them, they're not going to be able to come and get you. You're going to have to come with us. And they're like, no, they're coming.
Yeah.
So that person
died.
Probably. Most definitely passed away. It's hard to think of.
Of course it is.
Really difficult.
You know, and we don't necessarily need to drag you through lots and lots of details, maybe just enough to get a sense. I mean, you've already really been able to share a lot, which is helps us get a sense of the trauma. Let's just see if we can fast forward this a little bit, because you did get out safely, obviously.
Yes.
Thank goodness you are here. Your dad got out safely. Tell me a little bit more about your mom and your sister and their situation, because I know I've spoken to your sister. I have her sister in class. I've spoken to her a little bit. Do you want to talk about that at all?
Yes, I can mention that part. So while meantime, I'm with my grandma and my dad. My sister's with my mom at this other house. Obviously, I wasn't there firsthand, but I've heard all the stories. So they're together. And my mom is trying to get these two elderly, it was a husband and a wife, out of there. And they kept saying, it'll blow over, because I can't remember what it was, the 2008 or the 2007 fire?
Yeah, there was another fire.
They lived through it. And okay. Everybody was freaking out, and it blew right over them. So they were not even scared. They were saying, just leave us, and my mom wasn't going to. Thankfully, my sister was with her, and she said, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to leave you. I will come back for you, but I need to get my baby to safety first. About 10 minutes after they had left that house, they got a phone call saying, can you please come back and get us? There is fire coming under our front door. We cannot get out. They couldn't go back because
yeah.
it was the same. The traffic three ways down a small little road. And that must have been I can't imagine.
And the decision that your mom had to make.
Yeah.
Because to save her daughter or mm-hmm. and herself.
Yeah,
yeah. Okay. Wow, that is a lot. You are so brave to be here and talk with us. Is this the first time you've really talked about the details, or have you spoken to people about it? Or
I've spoken with mm-hmm. my family about it.
Okay,
Nobody really specifically outside of family or okay. that went through it with me.
Right.
Because that's mostly how I coped.
Yes.
Was talking about it a lot, which is why I can.
Okay. And so that's a really important thing that you just said, because we are looking at this story to also ask, well, mainly to ask, why is it that you are okay? And I don't mean that you are healed completely or that you won't still have PTSD, or because I'm sure emotions come up, memories come up. But you do seem like, and correct me if I'm wrong, like you are moving forward and you have a sense that you're going to be okay.
Yes.
And so what are some of the things that have helped you aside? So you said talking about it. Is there anything else that you can think of?
Writing about it, for okay. sure. I okay. did some counseling, and it's different for everybody, but that personally did not help me as much.
Okay.
But I've wrote numerous poems about it, and even stories, mixing up names, just trying to create a story about what happened.
Okay.
And then also just my mindset, being grateful yeah. that I was not one of the people that got taken by the fire.
Yeah.
And that I just got, you know, tortured by it a little bit instead of being taken out. I think about that very often, and especially the situation where me and my dad almost didn't leave my sister with my mom, but being grateful that they did, because my yes. mother would not be here if we didn't. So just thinking about small things like that and being grateful helps me progress.
Yes, and I know a lot of people find healing and recovery and joy in just daily gratitude, right?
Yes.
And I love the writing piece, of course, being an English teacher. But not just that. Long before I was a teacher, I journaled and journaled about everything that was difficult about growing up for me. And so have you always written like that in a journal, or did you start after the fire?
I would like to say I always have, but I really picked up after that went down.
Yeah. And is it mostly writing for yourself?
Yes.
Yeah.
Usually these I don't share. Mm-hmm. Sometimes if I think it's a great poem, I will, mm-hmm. but it almost hurts too much to share, but yeah. it feels good to put it on paper.
Yes. It's a purging sort of feeling, right?
Yes.
Yes. I totally get that. Oh, and it does sound like you have a family that is open about communicating.
Yes.
And it probably really made you all appreciate each other even more.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
And especially with my grandma, we had never really been close.
Oh.
And after the fire, now we live together on the same property, and I'm closer to her than I have ever been.
Yeah.
So it brought us together for sure.
Yeah, that can happen in crises sometimes, that something very painful and dark and tragic, that in time something good, that might even be too strong of a word because I know it was horrible, but maybe you can see the silver lining or the beauty in life just a little bit more clearly.
And I do. I yeah. do often, yes. Because yeah. being, I wouldn't be here.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be sharing this and helping yeah. people, so.
Well, we are very glad you're here, Kaylee, and we really appreciate you talking with us today. And I was wondering if there might be a chance that you would be willing to have me post one of the poems that you wrote. You said that sometimes you do share them. Would you be willing to let me do that?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So what I'd like to do is I would like to post it in the teen section of my website. I have a section called Teen Speak. And if anyone's interested in seeing Kaylee's poem, you can visit the website and it will be posted there. And thanks again so much, Kaylee, for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
Yes. Thank you, viewers, for being with us today. If you have a survival story you'd like to share, visit our website, speakbravely.com, and submit an interview request. We also accept written narratives as well as written and spoken word poetry. Until next time, take care, and may peace and healing be with you.